praise the Lord. But on last Thursday or yesterday, she turned 39 weeks pregnant. Amen. And so, you know, our baby girl is just around the corner. Amen. And we're excited for our daughter to come. Amen. Me and my wife are stepping into a new season of our lives. Amen. And we're excited to see what God has for us. Amen. And so keep us in prayer right now, or this week. We have a prospect. We have a home right there in Irving that we're looking at, that we're praying for. Amen. We're filling out the application. And so that's the next step. We're going to get our foot in the door right there in Irving, Texas. Amen. And then start it from the ground up. Amen. Start pioneering and start with the Bible study and grow that Bible study from 10 to 20, from 20 to 50. And then move out of there and then get a place. And so we're excited. Amen. You know, we're excited to do the will of God. Amen. How many excited to be in the will of God? The Bible says that God has a good, a perfect, and pleasing will. Amen. And you have to step into that will. The will of God has been the best thing that ever has happened to my life. Amen. So I want to encourage you to answer the call of God upon your life. You might find yourself watching on YouTube or on Facebook, and you might not know God the way that we know God. Amen. But I want to let you know, at one time, I was right there where you're at. We were there too. Amen. Right now, we're growing in our relationship with God. How many are growing in your relationship with God? Amen. And, you know, you might not know God. Amen. But you can get to know God. Amen. How many are glad that you got to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Amen. I'm so glad that Jesus came into my life. And I want to say hello to some family that's watching there. Amen. In California. That's where I'm originally from Southern California. Amen. I was born and raised out there. I ran amok out there. I got involved in gangs and drugs and that lifestyle. Amen. And then I went into the Christian recovery home for men. Amen. But I thank God for an aunt. I thank God for some family back out there. Thea Stacy, it's her birthday. Amen. Happy birthday. And they're tuning in right now, so I just wanted to give a quick shout out. But, you know, God saved me and he rescued me there in Southern California. And now, you know, and you might say, well, how'd you end up in Texas? Well, I ended up in Texas, amen, because I try to run from God. Amen. I try to run from Jesus, but how many know that you cannot run from God? You might have a son or a daughter out there, amen, that they got raised in the church, amen, and right now they might be out there away from the Lord trying to do their own thing, but I want to let you know that God is a God that is able to track them down. God tracked me down, in Texas. And, you know, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. It's been over 8 years that I've been right here with Pastor Francisco helping him build. Amen. Not in and out, but here a solid 8 years just serving. Amen. Surrendering my life to the call of God. Amen. I had the opportunity to, you know, to direct the men's recovery home for 5.5 years. Amen. And a co-ed home and a women's home. And, you know, so God has done a lot in my life in the last several years. Amen. But that's enough of my testimony for those that you probably don't even, you know, you don't know too much about me. I wanted to share that with you. Praise the Lord. But here tonight, let's go ahead and get right into the Word of God. Are you ready for the seven trumpets? I said, are you ready for the seven trumpets? I got a little surprise. Hold on. It's not a trumpet, but it's the closest thing that I could find, right? Are you ready? I wish I could. It doesn't have the tip on it. Are you ready for the seven trumpets? Grab your Bible and turn to chapter 8 of Revelations. Revelation chapter 8. And here tonight, amen, I'm going to just fall in suit to where Pastor left off. Pastor left off at the seventh seal. Amen. The seventh seal was an introduction to the seven trumpets. Amen. And, you know, I'm excited for the teaching here tonight, but I don't think I'm excited for the seven trumpets. Because here tonight, you're going to find out that it's not good. But at the same time, you're going to find out what you're missing out on. And it's going to be a good thing that you're missing out on it. Amen. Because you don't want to be here for the 7 years of tribulation. You have to understand, you know, that Jesus is going to take us, that we're going to be caught up with the Lord, and that's called the rapture. And here at Victory Outreach, we believe in pre-tribulation. We believe that God is going to rapture the church, amen, before we go into the judgments of God. How many of you thank God for that? You know, you think that you're seeing hard times now. You think that this pandemic is bad now. You don't want to see what's going to come. But there are going to be some Christians, amen, that are not caught up in the rapture. Amen. Maybe for whatever reason, God knows. Amen. They weren't taking God serious at the time. Maybe, you know, they were backslidden or whatever the case may be. We know, according to the word of God, that there's going to be some that are left behind. Amen. But even the 7 year of tribulation is the grace of God, because there's still going to be an opportunity for some to surrender their lives to Jesus. There's still going to be some opportunity for them to surrender their lives to God. Amen. Revelation chapter 8 verse 1. And I'm going to kind of go through them a little quickly for the sake of time. In verse 1, the word of God reads like this. It says, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. Kind of something like this. Amen. Imagine these angels that God has given them seven trumpets. In verse 3, another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all God's people. Do we have any people that love to pray? Will your prayer be found right here? On the golden altar in front of the throne, the smoke of the incense together with the prayers of God's people went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashings of lightnings, and an earthquake. I know we don't got too many earthquakes in Texas. Amen. But where I come from, I know what earthquakes feel like, and they're not pleasant. They're like standing on a surfboard, if you ever stood on a surfboard, right? They're nothing nice, but tornadoes are nothing nice either. Amen. But we see here in verse 6, the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. They prepared to sound them. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would bless the reading of your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. The first trumpet, verse 7, the first angel sounded his trumpet. And I'm not going to do like Pastor Francisco, amen. You should have been here, amen. He like made a sound that sounded like a trumpet, but I don't think I could do that, right? You guys, who remembers that? Pastor Francisco, he is the greatest preacher that I know of. Amen. Come on, how many believe that here tonight? Right? The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down on the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up. A third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. That is the first trumpet, my friend. Imagine a third of the earth being burned up. A third is a little less than half of all the trees and all the grass and all the earth being burnt up. Now, some theologians say that it could have been like a comet, right? Coming down and crashing to the earth. Or it could be like a volcano exploding, right? We don't really know. One thing that you have to understand is that, you know, the Apostle John was given visions long time before, 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, we didn't have cars. We didn't have, you know, the technology that we have now. So you got to understand that, you know, John, the Apostle John, didn't quite understand what he was seeing. But nevertheless, we understand that what is taking place here was not good. That the first trumpet that took, that after the trumpet was sounded, that something fell from heaven like hail, fire mixed with blood. Now you got to use your imagination a little bit here. God gave you an imagination to use, right? We could understand that, you know, everything else that is going to be affected when the trees are burned up, when the grass is burned up. That means the fruit trees. That means the grass that the animals, you know, eat, that they graze the grass. So it's not going to just affect the earth, but it's going to affect other things. In verse 8, the second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. As we see here, we have another, amen, we have something else falling from heaven. Like describes it like a huge mountain. Like a huge mountain falling on fire from the sky. And this time it goes into the sea. And it begins, and then all of a sudden the sea is filled and it turns into blood. It turns into blood. A third of the living creatures, they die. And a third of the ships, that means the commerce ships, the trading ships, the battleships, anybody out there on the sea, my friend, maybe they're out there on a cruise, maybe they're out there sailing. It's not going to be a good time to be at sea. And that's the second trumpet. The third trumpet, amen, as I get ready to read that, one question I ask myself, why so much blood? Why is there so much blood? Amen. Why is the sea turn into blood? Right? And I began to ponder and I began to think, you know, there's going to be so much blood that everybody's going to be looking and all this blood, you know, especially from the seven seals, all the murdering and all the killings that are taking place, you know, a whole lot of blood that is going to be shed. And God reminded me of the blood that was shed on Calvary. The blood that was shed on Calvary, that all these people that are in the 7-year tribulation, they paid no mind to. It did not, you know, grab their attention that a man, amen, named Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood for you and I. So now they're stuck and looking at all this blood. The third trumpet reads like this in verse 10. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star blazing like a torch fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and of the springs of the water. Verse 11, the name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters turned bitter. And many people died from the waters that had become bitter. Imagine now a third of the sea has been affected, amen, by the mountain that came, or the whatever came out of heaven and landed in the sea. But now it's the fresh water, the drinking water, the rivers, amen, the lakes on land are now affected, amen, by what came out of heaven. A third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star blazing like a torch fell from the sky. And now all of the fresh water has been affected. And it even says here that the star, his name is Wormwood. And if you Google what wormwood is, amen, it's nothing good. It's something that is very bitter, amen, it's so toxic that it is banned from being allowed in several countries. Wormwood. Imagine drinking bitter water. Some of us can't even drink faucet water. My God, right? I thank God I grew up on faucet water, amen. Right? I ain't afraid of faucet water, but I ain't gonna drink that stuff because I ain't gonna be here and you ain't gonna be here, amen, because we're gonna be with Jesus in heaven. The fourth trumpet, verse 12. The fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck. A third of the sun has been struck. A third of the moon and a third of the stars, so that the third of them turned dark. A third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night. So now, not only is all these things taking place, but God strikes the sun. The sun, we have no, now. Now it's going to be dark. You thought it was dark, you know, after 10 o'clock, come on, right? But thank God for that little bit of moonlight. Thank God for the sunlight, right, that reflects from the moon. Amen. But now it's going to get a little bit darker. And if you can imagine what kind of scientific effect that that's going to have on the earth, it's not going to be good. If you take away the heat from the sun, it's going to get really cold, really cold. Right? They say that if the sun was an inch closer to the world, that we would be scorched up, that the earth would not exist because it would be so hot. So if you take away a little bit of its heat, you can imagine how cold it's going to get. It's going to be some cold, dangerous nights. And the fifth one. Now, as we go into the fifth trumpet, these are also known as the three woes. You have the seven trumpets, but the last three trumpets are also known as the three woes. Someone say whoa. Right? Right? In Texas, when you say whoa, you probably think of a horse. Right? But that's not the type of woe that is going to be taking place here. It's going to be the type of woe like, my God, what is happening? What is going on? That is dangerous. That is not good. It's going to be that type of woe. In verse 13, as I watched, I heard. Now, after the fourth trumpet, in verse 13, this is what happens. Verse 13, it says, as I watched, John the Apostle is talking here. As I watched, I heard an eagle that was flying in midair call out in a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the trumpet blast about to be sounded by the other three angels. Picture that. An eagle flying in the sky saying, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. If an eagle is crying out, whoa, then you know that that's not good. Right? The first four trumpets have affected the earth. But now the last three trumpets, my friend, it is not going to be anything good because now the people of the earth are going to be affected. And we find this here in verse 1 of chapter 9. It picks back up. The fifth trumpet and the first woe. And it's a little bit of reading, so bear with me, but it's very descriptive. It says right here, the fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. When he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like the smoke of a gigantic furnace. The sun and the sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. That's a lot of smoke. And out of the smoke, locusts came down on the earth and were given power like that of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads, the unsaved. They were not allowed to kill them, but only torture them for 5 months. And the agony that they suffered was like that of the sting of a scorpion when it strikes. Has anybody ever been stung by a scorpion? Me neither. And I don't ever want to. Verse 6. During those days, people will seek death but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. Now, you know, we don't know if they're, you know, we're not for sure if they're actually going to be locusts, right? And that are going to do these things, that are going to have a tail of a scorpion. We're not for sure, amen, but we'll find out when it happens, right? Look, as I continue to read in verse 7, the locusts, now this is going to give a description of what the locusts look like. The locusts looked like horses prepared for battle, right? Horses are gigantic. Horses are big. A locust is small. But the locusts that are being described here are the size of a horse. The locusts look like horses prepared for battle. On their heads, they wore something like crowns of gold, and their faces resembled human faces. Their hair was like woman's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. They had breastplates like the breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings were like the thundering of many horses and chariots rushing into battle. They had tails with stingers like scorpions, and in their tails they had power to torment people for 5 months. They had a king over them, the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek is Apollyon. That is the destroyer. Another name we probably are more familiar with is Satan, the enemy, the devil, the chamuco, right? He is their king. My friend, this is not going to be something that you don't want to experience. You don't want to experience. It's going to be so bad, the pain that these creatures, demonic creatures, inflict on these people are going to be so bad that people are going to want to die, but they're not going to be able to. Because it's going to be torture that is taking place. In verse, the sixth trumpet and the second woe. Someone say woe. Verse 12, the first woe is past, two other woes yet to come. The sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the four horns of the golden altar that is before God. It said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels, and these ain't heavenly angels, who are bound at the great river Euphrates. And the four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now people are going to start dying because these other four fallen angels, these other four creatures that have been released, and these fallen angels here have been kept ready. We know that there are angels around us, but we also know that there are demons that are roaming this place. You can't see them, but you can see the effect that they have. Come on, somebody, right? But we see here that these angels, in verse 15, the four angels had been kept ready. These had been some bad fallen angels because they weren't allowed to roam around like these other demons that roam around. But rather, they were locked up and kept ready just for this time. The number of the mounted troops was twice 10,000 times 10,000. And I heard their number. So in other words, they're going to have an army of, you know, these angels. And these four angels are going to be in charge of them. Verse 17. And the horses and the riders I saw in my vision looked like this. Their breastplates were fiery red, dark blue, and yellow as sulfur. The heads of the horses resembled the heads of lions. And out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and sulfur. A third of mankind was killed by three plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur that came out of their mouths. Verse 19, the power of the horses was in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails were like snakes, having heads which they inflict injury. Verse 20, now this is the kicker right here. Verse 20, how many of you, after hearing all this, that, man, you're like, wow, I definitely don't want to miss the rapture. I definitely don't want to miss the rapture. I definitely don't want to be here for the 7-year tribulation. After all these things that are happening, my friend, look what is next. In verse 20, the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues still did not repent. They still did not repent. I mean, my God, who in their right mind, after seeing things like this, is not going to be full of the fear of God and turn from their wicked ways? I would be shaking in my snake boots, right? It says the rest of the mankind who were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk, nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. They did not repent of these things. During the 7-year tribulation, people were still being caught up. They were still stuck in their evil ways. They were still getting high, getting loaded, getting drunk, having sex outside of marriage, having orgies, doing all these crazy things, worshiping money. We know what Jesus said about murder. If you hate your brother in your heart, you have committed murder. If you looked upon an individual lustfully, you have committed adultery in your heart. Nor did they repent of their murders, magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. And last but not least, the seventh trumpet and the third woe. As I call up the worship team. The seventh trumpet and the third woe. Is anybody learning anything here tonight? Do you thank God that you're here tonight and you heard this? Come on, somebody, right? This is a warning. God is giving us a clear, crisp warning of what it's going to be like, right? But thank God that we're not going to be here. Huh? But it's still good to be informed. It's still good to know what's going to take place. It's still good to have the knowledge of the Word of God. My friend, this is written in the Bible. Pick it up. Read it. If you don't understand it, then pray. Ask God. Ask God to give you understanding. Huh? Go to Vetti. Go to life group. Ask questions. Ask your life group leader. Ask myself. Ask Pastor Francisco. If you don't understand the Word of God, amen, don't be afraid of it. Don't let it collect dust at home, amen. But get one and read it. The Word of God is powerful. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. The Word of God, my friend, is a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path. The Word of God, my friend, is sharper than any double-edged sword. It is alive and active. That which it was sent out to do, it will accomplish, and it will not return back to God void. Because the Word of God is powerful. How many thank God for your sword? You thank God for the Word of God. Huh? I encourage you, get to know the word. The seventh trumpet is this, the third woe. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven. Who's going to be in heaven? Who is going to be in heaven? The church is going to be in heaven. The angels are going to be in heaven. Jesus is going to be in heaven. God the Father, the Holy Spirit is going to be in heaven. The seventh angel sounded the trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, Jesus. And he will reign forever and ever. I said, Jesus will reign forever and ever. And so will we. And so will we. And so will you who is watching. If your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, and if you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God is going to reign forever and ever. I can't wait. I can't wait, but I get excited sometimes, and I can't wait to be with Jesus in heaven for all of eternity. Paradise. Right? Pastor says it. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Right? Man, I don't want to die, but I'm not afraid. Come on, because I know where I'm going. Huh? But I'm going to ride this third wave until Jesus comes back, or until I die and go with the Lord. Verse 16, and the 24 elders who were seated on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God. How many love to worship God? I don't know about you, but I love to worship God. I love to lift my hands and close my eyes. I love to clap my hands. I love to jump. I love to spin around. I love to sing to Jesus, even though I don't have, come on, tonsils of gold. I love to worship God. I love to worship God. Pastor Francisco, we had a meeting yesterday. A few of us had a meeting, and he gave us a devotion, and the devotion was this: to get back to the basics. During this time, you know, we have been tested in so many ways. You have been tested spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, amen, whatever which way. We have been stretched, we have been stressed, we have been pressured, we a lot of us during this time could have been very difficult. But one thing that I thank God that I've been trained, right, is in the basics of serving God, right? The basics, prayer, right? Getting alone with God. The altar right here in the building might not be available right now, but the altar at your house is. The altar on your couch, the altar at the side of your bed, the altar of there at your job, the altar of wherever you're at, in your car, wherever you like to meet God, that altar is available to worship, to pray, right? To worship, to pray, to read, to devote yourself to God's word. That's one thing that has been tested, is our devotion to God. My friend, I encourage you to devote yourself. Like the book of Acts said, right? In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42, it says that the people that were being saved after, amen, Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit came, that and thousands were getting saved, that after they got saved, that they began to devote themselves to the apostles' teachings. They began to devote themselves to fellowship. They began to devote themselves, amen, to praising God, to worshiping God. They began to devote themselves, to commit themselves. And I believe that that's what we got to do right now. During this time, the last trumpet is this. It's no more killing, no more none of that. But it's the 12, it's the elders in heaven, huh, worshiping God, falling on their faces before God and worshiping. And it reads right here in verse 17, and I'm going to close with this. It says, "We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty." How many thank God? "The one who is and was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign." Huh? "The nations were angry and your wrath has come. The time has come for judging the dead and for rewarding your servants, the prophets, and your people who revere your name, both great and small, and for destroying those who destroy the earth." Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and with his temple was seen the ark of his covenant. And there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and a severe hail storm. After they worshiped God. After they worshiped the Lord. And what happens now that the temple of God is open in heaven, it's set up for the seven bowls. The seven bowls of God's wrath. And I believe that Pastor Francisco is going to be sharing on that. So stay tuned. And after the seven bowls, now it's going to be set up for the second coming of Jesus Christ. And we're going to come with him to rule and to reign. To rule and to reign. Huh? Right there where you're at, go ahead and stand to your feet. There is power.